Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the EFES Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us today. Episode 29 of the EFES Nation Podcast. We've been knocking these out left and right. Had a great guest on our last episode, and then we are just continuing to elevate here as we bring in Joe Basso from the Pinnacle Life Group. Joe, fired up to have you with us, man.
Dude, I am so honored to be here today, man. And we've talked about this for a bit, and here we are. Finally made it happen.
We did, yeah. It's finally made it happen is an understatement. With you, for our audience that doesn't know you, there's probably quite a few that do know you. Always on the move, always seeing your people, spending time with them. Obviously, not a new venture, but Pinnacle Life Group just bursting onto the scene, blowing it up and kind of taking over to some extent. I'm excited about it. Excited to have you with us today, kind of sharing some perspective. We already know this one's going to be kind of rendition in version one, episode one with you. We're going to have to come back and do it again. But you guys are moving and shaking and making big things happen. So I want to start with today. What in the world is Pinnacle doing right now? Because you guys are just blowing up the leaderboards, production, and multiple carriers. Like, Lord of mercy, what's going on over at Pinnacle?
Dude, it's been a very eventful 2024, to say the least. I guess for anybody that wouldn't know me, I'll give like a super, super quick synopsis on kind of the last few years and kind of how we got started and where we are today. That way it's super clear for everybody. I grew up in a ministry household, so I was born and raised in ministry, and I actually went to a ministry college, and that's important to the story, so I bring that up. I ended up working as a full-time youth pastor for a number of years, and I fell in love with sales and marketing while I was in college. I started working for a door-to-door sales and marketing company, which is a really nice way to say I was just selling door-to-door, right? I used to tell people, what do you do for a living? Oh, I work for a marketing firm in Chicago. Yeah, that's like a nice way of saying I knock doors and sell whatever it is that I could sell, right? But the key to that story is I was blessed with the opportunity to get into a leadership role at like 19, working in the door company that I was with. And, you know, I was able to learn how to recruit. And I ended up recruiting, at the time, it was like 65 to 70 students that worked with me from the same college that I went to. Fast forward, I think we have about 25 to 30 of those that are here at Pinnacle now, 15 wow. years later. So it's, you know, the roots of Pinnacle literally go back 15 years. And you can't take God out of that equation because, you know, all of us were from around the country, ended up at a small Christian college in Northwest Indiana. Some would say by chance, I think providentially, because there are tens of thousands of people being helped at this point through Pinnacle. So pretty cool. From there, man, I ended up in the solar industry. I started a solar company back in 2016. And again, God blessed. We kind of exploded. And then in 2020, Chase, somebody introduced me to life insurance. And I had only ever known of life insurance. And I won't name any names of any, you know, companies, but like the MLM style of life insurance. Like, you know, sell one overpriced product and only sell to friends and family, you know, your sphere of influence, et cetera, which I'm all for, by the way, selling to your sphere of influence. But I think you have to have other options. Does that make sense? So it was the first time I understood what is an IMO, what is an independent broker. You know, I can represent lots of companies, not just one, which means I could actually serve my clients properly. And of course, the idea of growth and expansion and, you know, no territory restrictions, like these things coming from the door world. You know, I remember, Chase, I mean, I had like a territory. I could only work with the territory that I had. So a lot of limitations back in the day. When I heard about this, it was like, oh my goodness, this has all the good that I've liked about direct sales and really none of the bad. So it just made a ton of sense. So got my license end of 2020, officially started beginning of 2021 in the life insurance space. So February of 21 was my first month. And I was with a prior IMO and learned some really great things while I was there, met some really great folks while I was there. And then I would say probably about March of last year, March of 2023, just kind of became apparent that it was obvious to me that we were getting nudged to kind of do our own thing and separate. We saw kind of a space in the market, and we thought that we could really do a lot to fill that hole in the market. A lot of it just kind of fell in our laps. Opportunities arose. You and I met. I don't know. When did we meet? October of last year?
Yeah, October of last year.
And so, you know, here we are today. So I hope that was a long answer to a short question. But
that was perfect. It provides context and a foundation for today's conversation. And it's also going to be a great introduction of you and your group, and I think your leadership, to the audience. And that's kind of where I want to segue next. Selfishly, I've gotten to know you over since October, as we mentioned. And the one thing that I've noticed with yourself, but also within your organization, is that you guys have tremendous leadership.
We do.
Not from a dictator perspective, not from a barking and this is how you do it. Very collaborative. I won't steal any of the thunder, but I've marveled and I've really admired from afar how you've built this business, but also how you treat and collaborate and work with your leadership. I want to talk about the culture that Pinnacle has created, because to me, it's rare. And I say that I've been around the business 17 years, not to make myself sound older than I am. I'm only 39, but I've been around this business 17 years and I've seen the hierarchical perspective of you do as I say, I'm at the top. That's never been there with you and your team, Joe. So share with us a little bit, how have you guys created such an amazing culture?
There's a quote from one of my favorite books that says, good leadership is not leading alone. And, you know, I think I was blessed enough. I think a lot of us are a product of our upbringing in life, in business, et cetera, et cetera. I was blessed with an absolutely unbelievable mentor at 18 years old in business, that he was all about collaboration. He was all about teamwork. He was all about rising tide raises all ships. And so I grew up in sales with kind of, which by the way, is super rare. I don't think I just got lucky, to be honest with you. I got lucky that my first time in sales and my first mentor, an amazing person that treated me like gold and treated everybody like gold. So that was just pure luck. And then kind of as I branched off and grew and matured in business and as a leader, we just kept doing what we knew. And, you know, our motto, kind of our rally cry with Pinnacle is people over profit. And there's a great book about people over profit, and really extends to the thought and idea of servant leadership. And, you know, I often refer to the Bible and talk about the greatest leader that ever lived, no matter what you believe. Historically, you can't deny that Jesus Christ was quite a leader, whether you believe in his divinity or not. I certainly do. He had 12 core leaders that he spent a lot of his time with. There was an inner circle of the inner circle that were three, right? And then the 12 ended up reaching the known world with his gospel. And so the idea in business that I've always taken and loved and really just, I guess, ran with is, if we can create a foundational core layer of leadership and we're all preaching the same message, we're all living the same message, and it's selfless, it's putting other people first, dude, you can't help but win. We talk all the time about value. He who provides the most value wins. That's just the way it works in business. You win with influence, you win with relationships, you win financially. You can't help it. And so as it relates to Pinnacle, whether it be our clients, our agents, our agency owners, our staff, et cetera, people over profit. We put the people first. We love the one that we're with. And that's been a winning recipe. And what's been great to see, I've seen a lot of people, Chase, that get, they get cynical. They get very cynical about the industry, about different leaders, about different things. And the reality is there's a ton of great people in this industry. There's a ton. Yeah. And you can sometimes forget how many great people there are, because the bad apples tend to be the loudest. And you can be like, oh man, this is rough. There's so many bad, dude, there's way more good apples than there are bad apples. And we just wanted to create, now that I'm sure there's a lot of others that exist, but in our little niche, we wanted to create a safe haven for good people that want to do good business the right way, high quality business, treating your clients right, mission over commission, servant leadership, people over profit. And what we're seeing is a lot of agents are transitioning here and they're way, way, way more profitable, Chase.
I love it. And I want to just zero in one thing that you just said that is important for those listening in, because we have a lot of people that listen in that aren't with us. We got a lot of different variations, a very diverse audience. And one thing you just touched on right there, when you talk about the 12 that followed Jesus, they all came from different backgrounds.
Very diverse.
They all weren't cut from the cloth of being a perfect candidate to follow him and do great things. And so that kind of segues to the next topic that you did a great job kind of hinting at and alluding to. Your culture is phenomenal. That comes from your leadership. That's, they say, what's that movie? Remember the Titans. Attitude reflects leadership. And meeting your people, getting to spend some time with you, obviously, that just flows. And it's unbelievable. I marvel at your leadership team. I marvel at the culture you've created. But I also marvel at your ability and your leadership ability to bring someone in that has zero experience in our industry. Number one, probably because you've lived it. You were that guy, as we all were at some point, no experience. You guys have such a huge, huge kind of push, and your metrics are high in terms of conversion of successful people with no history. I'd love to know, what do you attribute that to? Obviously, you guys have great training. You've got great lead systems, all of these things, systems that are in place. How do you guys take somebody who's 22 years old, and you got a few of them, and they just jump right in? They're going out and making $300,000-$500,000 a year, taking care of a lot of people.
As you well know, you know our numbers because you see what it looks like on the back end. I think we just contracted number 2,100. So we have 2,100 active agents at the moment. Our average agent is 26 years old.
Insane.
We've done a good job of figuring out who our ideal candidate is and appealing to that agent. Most of them have come to Pinnacle. We've done really well with inexperienced people to the point that you made, and I'm glad that you made it. I really firmly believe it's my job, it's our job as, we'll say, Pinnacle Corporate to provide a ton of resources, tools, whether that be pre-licensing, through the licensing process, through onboarding and carrier appointments, training. We spend no less than 12 hours of live one-on-one training with every single agent that comes in before they ever get started. Things like sales process, things like, lead strategy. And we dive deep. Like, what type of leads exist? What are some of the great vendors? What should you be paying for each lead type? What is the rough conversion rate? What are the KPIs that you should be hitting if you're doing your job the right way? What should you expect as a new agent? What should the rough ROI be? Your schedule, what should that look like? So I learned a long time ago. I had a great professor in college that I'll never forget it, man. It just stuck with me and I think about it every day. And he said the quote, people will rise or fall to your expectations. And I feel like so many times we have leaders that have such low expectations for the people in their organization and any other relationship for that matter. And of course, people are going to fall to those low expectations because, clarity is a huge part of it. If we can give a new agent clarity and clear expectation, high expectations for what we expect from that agent, and then back up those expectations with tools and resources and mentorship, love the one that we're with. We are laser focused on quality over quantity. Now, the irony is the quantity just continues to explode, but we're laser focused on quality. The wrong people don't like us, which is awesome because they tend to weed themselves out, Chase.
Yeah, we're okay with that.
Yeah, we're cool with that. But for people that are looking to come in and be serious about this, not look at this as a sales job, but look at this as, you know, a real business, and they're willing to invest into their business. People hear that, they always think money. Money is the smallest investment that you make in the business here. It's really time, it's energy, it's sacrifice from other things. I recently heard somebody say, in order to accomplish anything great, you have to sacrifice something that you already attained. And I couldn't agree more. Like, in order to get something new that's awesome, you have to give up something that also is important to you. And so we try and teach those foundational truths and mindsets. And I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't say, I'm like less than 1% of it, dude. I mean that. Like, I'm less than 1% of it. We have some of the greatest leaders that I've seen in the life insurance space by far. And they do such an excellent job of mentoring the agents that are coming on board. I actually, you know, I'm hogging the airtime, so forgive me, Chase, but you're getting me hyped up. I got a text last night, literally last night. I was sitting at dinner and I got a text from a new leader that came into Pinnacle. And you actually know this gentleman. I won't say his name, but he sent me a text. And this gentleman has had a lot of success in a different industry. And he said, I'm trying to figure out the lay of the land. He said, and he listed off five names. And he said, these five people, they don't own equity in Pinnacle, do they? Because it seems like they own different agencies, but I'm trying to understand why they seem so vested in Pinnacle success. And that was one of the greatest things that I've ever heard as a leader. He's asking me about five people that are independent business owners. They each own their agencies within Pinnacle.
Yep.
And he's like, why do they care so much about the future of Pinnacle? It doesn't make any sense. And I said, dude, they care because they've understood culturally, as Pinnacle wins, they win. As they win, Pinnacle wins. And so the idea of rising tide raises all ships, dude, it's not something that we talk about. It's something that we literally do every day. And so much of that is not coming from me. It's coming from that second layer of leadership within Pinnacle. I'm just blessed that for some reason, God let me, you know, have a part of it. And I unfortunately get credit that I don't deserve often, truthfully.
Well, your humbleness is part of the reason why they love you. It's one piece to that, no doubt. I mean, because of what you just said, for those that are listening in, it's authentic. I do get a chance to work with Joe quite regularly on things, and this isn't just podcast Joe. This is what you see is what you get right here. And you just gave something away to everybody listening in that's in a leadership role in their respective business that most may not give away because they're worried about it being mine. It's part of my secret sauce, but you gave it away. And I think this is why, when you said the amount of time that you invest in each agent that comes on board, the amount of time that Pinnacle pours into that new agent compared to your conveyor belt MLM type shops where you just get on the conveyor belt, go down the line, you're just another number, throw a bunch against the wall, see what sticks. That's become too common in our business. You just gave away that you guys invest in each and every one of them with systems, with training, with mentoring, with goal setting, with target alignment. That's huge. And that's cool that you were able to do that. But the reason you were able to do that, Joe, and not have to worry about giving away secret sauce is because not every organization can come through and deliver on that. They're not that they can't, but most of them also won't. They're too busy with other items. And it's amazing to see, and I won't name drop, but, you know, I've met quite a few of them, almost all of them. Those leaders that are within Pinnacle, seeing that new agent orientation, seeing that training, seeing that hands-on approach, makes total sense that that's a difference maker. And that's why you guys have people come in and immediately find success, and then not only find success, but continue to level up. I mean, it's unbelievable, but that makes total sense to hear you say it. That's a massive differentiator, in my opinion, because there's a lot of agents out there that are looking for a home or people looking for an actual career, not a job, and they get sold a bill of goods. And, hey, we're the shop for you. We're the shop for you. And then what happens is you get some contracts and you get thrown to the wolves. That's not what happens at Pinnacle from what we've seen, man.
Chase, you made the point. This isn't just podcast Joe, right? Which is funny to say.
Yeah.
But here's the truth. Anybody, when they're selling an opportunity, it sounds like the greatest opportunity in the world. It sounds like gold. But what you can't fake, no one can fake, is the day-to-day 4,000 phone calls. I'm exaggerating, but you know, 200 phone calls a day, 150, 200 text messages from different people a day, and you being there and providing that support. I'm not saying me. I'm saying all the leaders in our organization. You can't fake that real care in the development and success of that new agent and the other current agents on your team. And we just are blessed that we have some leaders that they got it. They got it quickly. And, you know, I'm holding back. I want to name names because we have so many great ones, but they're pouring into people at such a high level. There's like this, I've tried to preach this so loudly within Pinnacle. I don't talk about it a lot publicly, but I'm just going to say it, right? You said say what you want, so I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
People are so confused with comp, Chase. They think that comp is everything. Dude, comp agents are not coming or going because of comp. At least the right agents are not. People want value. They need value. Dude, would you rather have an entire grape or a big slice of watermelon? You'd rather have the slice of watermelon. There's no doubt. So if you're listening to this, whether you're with Pinnacle, whether you're not, whether you're with Equita, whether you're not, whether you are, I don't care what business you're in. I'm telling you, I'm living proof. Value is where the growth comes from. Period, period, period. Do not get confused. The people that want to just whore out the comp, let them do it. Those are not your competitors. They're not competing. They're not competing with you.
You're going to find, to your point, Joe, like, historically, I've seen that you have the ones that are naturally nomadic and they'll go for five here and there. Hearts get broken when they, like we just discussed, when that value is not there for them. They don't have that mentor, that person that will pour into them. And I marvel at that. I'll sing that. I'll be redundant all day on this podcast with you about that particular point. I'll belabor it. You know, the leadership and the way that you guys, I mean, some of the things you guys do where y'all come together, you spend time together, that culture is so strong. It's infectious to somebody looking on the outside in. You know, if you see a video put out by Pinnacle or, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, the 17 other names that have put the content out, the authenticity of it is phenomenal. But then also the messages that are contained inside of those videos. Number one, they're real, goes back to the authenticity, but it's inspiring that there are really good shops out there that genuinely care about their people. You turn into dang near family because you spend so much time together. They care about whether I succeed or not. For me, getting to know you, getting to know Gabe and your team internally at Pinnacle and your leaders, it's been a breath of fresh air because the air got a little stagnant and got a little stuffy in our business with all of the negative things you hear about sometimes. To see that there are people like yourself and your leadership team doing it the way you guys are doing it, it's a lot of fun to watch. And I want to kind of segue to another point here that, and not to give away the secret sauce, but I've seen with your group and getting to know your leadership style and your team, the ability to churn out high achievers, not a Chinese army, but a Spartan army, to where you guys have tons of agents, tons of people that are part of Pinnacle. But you also have, from what I've seen, and you and I talked about this, your average agent, and I'm not looking to get into specifics, but the way you can bring somebody in with no experience and turn them into an elite level achiever is another item that I've marveled at. What do you attribute that to? I know the training and the culture and all that, but it's phenomenal to see. How do you guys do that at Pinnacle?
Well, you hit some of it, right? So you can't separate some of these items. I think training, culture, expectations, accountability, right? You have to inspect what you expect. We do. So I think a lot of those things. I also think you can never separate lead quality from good quality volume. They go hand in hand. So I also, if you want to keep diving deeper, you can't separate having the right carrier lineup and product lineup, you know, because what we have found to be the case, you can sell the right product to the right client, and if it's affordable, it's what they need, that stays on the books. And if it stays on the books, you have fewer chargebacks. With fewer chargebacks, you have more money to invest into your business on higher quality leads. And as your lead quality continues to grow, guess what? Your volume continues to grow. And it's one, like, you can't, I can't anyway, separate any one of these items from the pie, because it all matters. It all matters. So I think, you know, I'll just speak personally, personal pronouns here. I spend a lot of my time, energy, and a lot of my money on the resources and things like that that are contributing to the growth of the entire thing. Does that make sense? I don't look at leads as a way to make money. I look at leads as a way to drive volume, quality volume. And so if I can get a better quality lead into the hand of my agent at a lower cost, they can buy more of those leads if they're priced right, and they're going to produce more volume. Agent wins with more volume. Pinnacle wins with more volume. So now we're creating win-wins. So there's a lot of ways I could answer that question, but the truth is it all meshes together. It's one giant cycle. And I think as an organization, if you're focused truly on people over profit, then every decision that you make is, how do I put the people first? How about my agents first instead of profit? Again, if the agents win at a super high level, guess what we fix, Chase? We fix the number one issue that plagues direct sales companies, which is retention. So we're going to keep all of our talent, which is like numero uno on my list of priorities. I don't want to lose any good people, period. Like, I'm not going to put greed or profit over the people ever, because, dude, we all see a lot of organizations out there in the life insurance space. That front door is huge. They recruit better than anybody I've ever seen. But the back door is just as big. They're losing as many as they're recruiting.
I know. So
we don't want that. We do not want that. We have zero desire to have that churn, that high churn rate. And so it's easy sitting here today in year four talking about, you know, we have great retention. We have excellent quality of business. Our retention with agents and our retention on business policies is pretty stinking good. You've seen both. It didn't happen overnight. We made a lot of mistakes along the way in trying to figure out, like, all right, what do the agents need to stay, be successful, be profitable, et cetera. And I think that we've, as a agency owner, as an IMO principal, I spend more time than I would like, but it will continue, on a lot of those back end items that drive the success of the entire organization. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And kind of having seen it with my own eyes, I'm going to just throw in there, I think part of the reason Pinnacle is so successful, and you just said it, just to add another layer onto it, just from my own eyes and my own viewpoint, is that you are always putting your agents first. We see that 100%. That allows the agent to put their clients first.
Correct.
Instead of, like you said earlier in the podcast, I got to go sell something because I was told this is what I have to sell. I know that my leadership team is behind me to do what's best for my clients. And it rings true with your quality of business. That, I think, is so huge. And it also removes, as you know well as anybody, it removes stress off of you to go out and perform. You get to just go do your thing and help people. Because you're not beholden to, oh, I got to put it in just this one. I got to put this square peg in a round hole. And if I don't, I'm going to get in trouble, or somebody's going to be upset with me. I'm going to fall out of favor. You know, you get to go focus on really what the job is, which is taking care of people. And that just removes, sales is stressful enough as it is. If you have these other, you know, baggage related items you got to carry, man, it just makes it even worse. And you guys remove that off of every person that works with you, which I notice. And it's clear.
I think the another thing that I want to add to that, I think I've seen organizations push agendas with time constraints, like, hey, you have to do this, this, and this, and there's this race to do this, this, and this. And what happens is you actually take the joy out of the journey.
Yes.
And if I'm only shooting towards a destination, I'm going to burn out, dude.
Yes.
You know what's awesome, dude? Cash flow. You know what my average agent really wants and needs? Cash flow. I don't beg my people to work 6.5 days a week. I think that's insane. They don't have to, like, I had a conversation with, I'll name drop this one. Holly Newton is a great agent. She has a phenomenal agency within my team. And her husband, William, is a pastor out in California. And first off, to see what the business has done for their family is unreal, because when you plant a church, you're not exactly making any money for a large number of years. And they're living in one of the more expensive counties in the United States. So Holly and what she's done in the business has allowed them to do what they're doing in ministry, and they're killing it. Again, investing into people. And I was at a lock-in. We host these agency lock-ins where we essentially bring 40, 50 agents into a city where we work for 3 days, sell a ton of premium, train new agents, help a ton of clients, and then we have fun too. So we're building camaraderie, we're doing some cool things. So we did this lock-in in Nashville maybe 6 weeks ago. Mindy Tibbs, Holly put it on together, and I try to get to as many of those as I can to get FaceTime with the agents and build relationships and train and whatnot. So we're there, and Holly's husband, William, happened to be there. And so we went out one night, me, William, and Holly. And William made an excellent point that I have not stopped thinking about in the last 6 weeks. He said, one of the things that, you know, I think that we should be more focused on as leaders is, you know, we've done a great job of teaching people how to make a lot of money and have a healthy business. But are we also in reinforcing the importance of having a healthy life, like healthy marriage, like healthy family, healthy, you know, faith? And I don't want an army of unbalanced people.
Yes.
That makes zero sense long term. My desire, and I mean this, and I've never said this publicly, it's the first time I'm saying this publicly, but my desire, if you told me, Joe, you could have your average agent issuing $25,000 a month, but broken marriages and poor parents and, you know, just turning their lives upside down because their priorities are upside down. Or your average agent could do $20,000 a month and everybody is actually well-balanced and they're living good lives outside of business. Dude, that's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely no-brainer.
Yeah, it's so funny because I was talking to a friend of mine in the industry just yesterday, and it was on that point. He, you know, I've mentioned my wife was telling me about separation between personal and business. She just asked me the question. It just was a silly conversation. I don't want to say silly, but it was just an off-the-cuff conversation to your point. And she was like, you don't separate, you know, your Facebook or whatever, for example. You don't have you have the company one, but you also were friends with, you know, agents on your personal. I'm interested to know your thought process. And she wasn't coming from any side of the fence either way. She just wanted to know. And I said, well, if you think about it, I spend as much time with them as I do family. They become family. And so if I don't care about their success, obviously we know, like, we want successful people within our organization. But the point you just hit on is so big. I don't ever want to be affiliated, associated, or implicated with a setup in our business that puts not just profit before people, but puts happiness, you know, EBITDA before happiness. Like, you want people to have that balance, because you and I both know this without going into specifics. We both know that there are some amazing people in this industry who do some great things, but they're miserable.
Yeah.
And it's because it's all about money, 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 or... I'm not saying you shouldn't be financially motivated, but, you know, how is your relationship with your spouse? You know, how is your relationship with your kiddos? And I understand teenagers can be knuckleheads, but that in itself is a fun little Rubik's cube to deal with. But, you know, that's such a strong point that you made, is that it's well-rounded at Pinnacle. It's more than just numbers on a leaderboard or, you know, numbers in a total EBITDA account. Like, you see that with your leadership style. I throw Gabe into that equation. Your entire team, you guys do an amazing, amazing job with making people feel like Pinnacle's not an IMO. It's not an insurance agency. It's a family. That's the vibe that I get, whether it's I'm not going to name drop. I'm fighting not name dropping, whether it's Claudia, whether it's Mindy, whoever you talk to, it's, you know, Joe is a relative. Joe's a family member. Gabe is my cousin. That's the vibe you get with the people at Pinnacle. And that's from the outside looking in. So, you know,
you can't accomplish any of that. If anybody's like, well, how did you do that? You can't accomplish any of that being selfish. You just can't. Like, what it looks like is, dude, there's been times, and it sounds great when you're talking about it, by the way, like in theory, but in practice, it's like, dude, there's times where, you know, like I know, even with best efforts, things don't work well. A carrier, something gets jacked up with the paperwork, no one's fault, but it does. And, you know, wrong comp, overrides went to the wrong spot. And it's like, well, when push comes to shove, what are you doing as it relates to money? I've seen money destroy more relationships than anything else because yes. People will put that money over everything else. And they think that their words and saying, oh, Chase, I promise, I got your back. And then every time push comes to shove, you're putting money over that relationship. Well, and then people are like, well, I don't understand why I can't keep anybody. I don't understand why my retention is garbage. Dude, the people that you have, they understand your words are hollow, but your actions are what speak volumes.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, are we doing the right things in action every single day? That's really what matters. I've never met a leader that didn't know how to say the right things. They know how to say all the right things. Like, we could have this conversation with 50 leaders, and they're all going to, amen, amen, amen. Yes, sir, yes, sir. But what happens on Monday when it's time to put it into action? And I think we've just got an incredible group of good human beings that are really trying to do the right thing. And you can't help but win.
Use an old Southern term, my man. You got a bunch of walkers and not talkers. And, I mean, the numbers don't lie, which is a great way of looking at it. Profitability is awesome, I'm sure. But that culture is something you just can't put a price tag on. You guys do such a great job. Seeing you guys interact with each other is really, really neat. Having seen that in person that was the first thing that was like, whoa, okay, this is... Joe said they were tight and how much he thinks, you know, he loves them and all that. But then when you walk into the room and there's people from all over the country, haven't seen each other in maybe a couple months, but it's just like, big hugs, and it's authentic, man. It's special. That's the word that comes to mind, is it's special. So I'm fired up about what you guys have going on, and it's nice to know you. And you know, I think it's okay to say that, because you know, I pick up things off of people I consider mentors and friends in the business, and there's a lot that I've learned from you and Gabe so far, no doubt.
And vice versa, by the way. I mean that. Hey, you've been so great to work with over the last, you know, several months, you know, I guess coming up on a year before too long. It's been a long year. It's been a short year. It's been wild. I'll say this, man. You feel like family, truthfully.
I appreciate that.
And that's a testament to how you run your organization as well. So I don't think anything happens by accident. I talk about providence all the time. Timing is everything. Relationships are everything. And so I could not be more excited about where this is going, where it is, the amount of people that are being helped. And I'm super, super blessed that our paths crossed and here we are today.
I'm telling you right now, listeners, Joe Basso fired up, rejuvenated, not that he was lacking energy before. Woof. It's a scary, fun thing to watch. And excited about all the things that you guys have going on, man. Excited to be a part of the journey in every form or fashion that it can be. And we got to do this again. And this next time, we got to rope Gabe in with us. Like, we got to get Gabe on here.
We'll get Gabe.
People, I know he's probably on the move. He's always on the move.
Gabe is outstanding, and he's also hysterical.
He is.
We keep him around for lots of reasons, but comic relief is at the top of the list.
If you guys want to get a dose of Gabe and Pinnacle in general, and I say this wholeheartedly, I'll just name drop it now. Instagram, Facebook, all over. Go look up and search Google Pinnacle Life Group. Check them out and connect. You know, I'm plugging Joe and the squad on here for you guys, because if you want to see what great culture looks like, and within Equitable, we talk about culture all the time. It's paramount. It's a non-negotiable. It's not something that we're willing to sacrifice. We've talked about it on this podcast ad nauseum. You guys go check it out. You'll see the pinnacle people in the leadership team walking the walk there. So, Joe, a parting shot for anybody before we break and end this. Anything you want to throw out there?
No. If you're listening in and you're not in insurance, you want to be in insurance, reach out to us. We'd love to work with you, and we'll put you first. Chase, I'm just thankful for the opportunity, dude, to be on the call today, and I'm thankful for your friendship, and we're going to do a lot of big things together. We're just getting started.
Absolutely, man. Fired up for what the future holds, and I will see you soon, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thanks again. Well,
thanks, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the EFES podcast. For more, visit EFESnation.com and subscribe to the podcast catalog on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.